Let's pray before we begin our message this morning, a message on vision. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our vision, and you gave us clear commands, your word. That is our vision, Lord. That's what we're all about. Father, as a church, we want to be living in obedience to your word, following after your word, your will for this church. And so this morning, as we talk about what do you want for this church, what do you want for us, for our future, God, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Speak to us individually, speak to us collectively as a whole. Lord, I pray that we would not merely be hearers of your word, but that we would be doers, Lord, that your blessing may be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'm doing something a bit different. I'm not talking about what is the church, New Testament images of the church. I'm going to talk about our vision as a church. What is our vision and why? What difference does it make? You know, we hear a lot about vision statements. What is a vision? A vision is simply a picture of the future. It's direction. What direction? Where do we want to go? And we're a church, so it's not about my ideas versus your ideas. It's about God, what God has revealed in his word, and where he wants us to go as a church. What is God's vision for us as a body? And the process at Discovery started before me. You see, at the beginning of this year, there was, quote-unquote, there's a need for internal alignment amongst the elders and the governing board of this church, a realization that we need to agree on, be united around, what direction are we going as a church? And so in February of this year, the governing board of this church got together, and they asked one question: what will it look like? In other words, when we get there, what will it look like? And they spent time talking about what it will look like. And I came in June, fast forward a few months. One of the first things that we did was we brought Dan Russell. Dan Russell is a church consultant from the district. We brought him out here to talk about our direction. Where do we want to go as a church? And one of the major things that came up was we need a vision. We need to align, to unite around a common vision for our future. Where does God want us? Where do we believe God is taking us as a church? And so over the last month, we've been thinking about this and praying about this. And last Saturday, the elders, we got together and we talked about our vision. And 2 days later, as the governing board, we got together, we talked about our vision. And let me tell you, there was a spirit of excitement, a spirit of joy in the room as we did that. And I hope there will be similar spirit of joy in this room. So the first thing this morning is, what is our vision? Well, as a church, a biblical church, our vision is to make disciples, right? That was Jesus' final command on earth. Go into all nations and make disciples. So making disciples is our vision. It's our mission as a church. But you see, we can't just say our vision is to make disciples. We have to define what does that mean, and how does that affect what we do at this church. So we need to define, first of all, what is a disciple? And secondly, once we've defined what a disciple is, we need to define discipleship. What is our church's contribution to people becoming disciples? So we need to define discipleship. Secondly, we need to come up with a crisp, clear statement of our vision for discipleship. And thirdly, we need to illustrate it. Come up with an illustration that clearly shows, that portrays what our discipleship process is. And so the first thing is to define it. To define it. What is a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? And what is discipleship at Discovery? You can see here, we narrowed it down to three major things. First of all, it's knowing Christ. Being saved. Salvation. Believe. Believing in Jesus and being saved. Secondly, it's growing in Christ. Spiritual growth. The word belong. Belonging to Christ's church, his bride, and growing spiritually in your faith. Thirdly, it's not just about receiving, but it's about giving back. And so the third part of being a disciple is serving. It's ministering. And we're a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. Missionary is in our name. It's our blood. And so I wrote here, serving Christ. I hope I'm not blocking it. We wrote down here, serving Christ glocally. Now, the word glocal is a combination of the word local and global. You see, local service and global service, glocal, serving Christ glocally. We're a Christian Missionary Alliance church. We're all about missions. And so how does that affect what we do as a church? What is our process of discipleship? How is what we do, our programs, our ministries, linked to making disciples? First of all, our Sunday morning worship services, the goal of our Sunday morning worship services is that people would know Christ, that they would believe. Secondly, small groups. Growing in Christ. I know of no better way for people to grow spiritually than in the context of a small group, ministering to one another and growing spiritually through small groups. Thirdly, serving Christ locally in our church through the ministry teams at Discovery. And globally, we're part of something bigger. As a Christian and Missionary Alliance church, we're part of a global movement. It's not just about us. We're talking about thousands of missionaries serving in over 70 countries, and so we as a church want to be more involved in the CMA's and the CMA Global Missions movement. So we've defined what it means, what discipleship means to us, and what a disciple is and what discipleship means, what it means for us as a church to make disciples. The second thing we need to do is to state it. How can we state this in a way that is memorable, that is clear, that is inspiring? We've come up with the following vision statement: discover Christ, discover community, discover your mission. So you can see those three things: discover Christ, knowing Christ, discover community, growing in Christ, belonging. Discover your mission is serving, locally and globally. Discover Christ, discover community, and discover your mission. Now, the first thing you notice about this vision statement is the word discover. We use it a lot. Why do you think we used this word? Well, our name is Discovery. So we thought it's easy to remember, discover, discovery. But there's another reason. As I looked up the word discover, I thought that's perfect. That's a perfect word to use. In the dictionary, the word discover, three definitions. The first definition is to see, to find, to become aware of something for the first time. Is that not our vision as a church? For our community, we want people to see Jesus. Amen? We want people to find Jesus, to become aware of Jesus, not just a religion, a relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship for the first time. Secondly, the second definition given. This is from a dictionary. It's not a theological textbook. This is the definition of discover. It means to show the presence of something hidden or difficult to see. Isn't that true for us? You know, Jesus is here spiritually, but he's not here in bodily form. And so he's difficult to see for many people. For many people, he remains hidden. Is it not our job as a church to make him known, to present Jesus to our community? It says to make something known, to reveal, to disclose. So Discovery Christian Community should be a place where people, where Christ is revealed, where he becomes visible, he becomes tangible, where people can experience him, his presence. Number three is to learn or to find out something surprising, something unexpected. I like that. You know, discover connotates something new. It's something exciting, something unexpected, something bold. It's an adventure. You know, as a church, we don't want to just be the same old, same old. You know, people come to church and they think, okay, it's a church, and they do this and they do that. We don't want to be like that. We want to be something fresh, something new, something excited, something exciting, something unexpected. Discover Christ, discover community, discover your mission. So once again, you can see these words, Christ. These, oh, change the font. Oh, well. I just discovered. I need to discover how to save the font on my PowerPoint presentations. So relating our vision statement to our definition of what it means to be a disciple, to our discipleship process. Discover Christ means knowing Christ, believe, salvation. related to our Sunday morning worship services. Discover community related to growing in Christ. Belong to his bride, belong to his community, and grow. Community groups, small groups. We want to call our small groups, we want to call community groups, because it's our vision is discover community. And discover your mission. I like that word mission. Now, it doesn't just mean you go somewhere for 2 years and you hack it off. It's your life mission. It's a purpose. It means that you're living for something greater, something beyond yourself. Serving Christ globally, becoming, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are his poema, his poem. We're God's workmanship. It says we're his masterpiece. And we're created to walk in the good works that he created us, or that he prepared for us before the world began. Our vision is to empower you to become all that God has made you to be. And that means serving locally, in the church, in the community, and in the world. The third thing we need to do is to illustrate. And as I was thinking about what could we use as an illustration for our vision, something that illustrates the entire process that everybody would understand, I went back to nature. Not a man-made process, but God's natural process. Sow, grow, and bear fruit. That's our vision. Discover Christ, sow. Discover community, grow. Discover your mission, bear fruit. You can see these pictures, and as you can see, it's from Google Images. I did not purchase the copyrights for them. So, receiving the seed of God's word with a fertile heart. And you could see this picture is a biblical picture, right? Jesus' parable of the sower. The sower, Jesus is the sower. He's sowing the seed. What is the seed? The seed is God's word. The gospel, the good news, is being sown. Our vision as a church is to sow the seed of the word of God. And our hope, we're looking for fertile hearts, for good soil. The soil is the heart. Jesus spoke of hard soil. Hard hearts, people that reject the message, and he spoke of good soil, soft soil, fertile soil, people that would receive the word of God. And so our goal is to proclaim the word of God, and we're looking for people to receive it with a fertile heart. So is the first step. But obviously, the purpose of a seed is to grow. To grow. And you need more than just good soil for a seed to grow. A seed grows in a healthy environment. You need water. You need sunlight. You need a healthy environment for a seed to grow. And it's the same way in a church. Our goal as a church is to provide a healthy environment for spiritual growth. In the healthy environment of community, people will grow spiritually. But the ultimate goal of a seed is not just to grow, it's to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Not just to receive, but to give back. As we have a fruit, and so the ultimate goal is that we would live fruitful lives. As we serve locally, as we serve globally. And as I said before, this vision, this illustration is biblical. This is a biblical picture. In Mark chapter 4, verse 8, the parable of the sower, Jesus said, other seed fell on good soil. The seed was sowing. And it came up and grew, speaking of growth. Sow, grow, and it says, and produced a crop. Multiplying 30, 60, 100 times. The ultimate goal is fruit, bearing fruit, multiplication. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. What is the evidence that you are a disciple of Jesus? What is the evidence that I am a follower of Jesus? It's fruit. Fruit of our lives. As we serve people, as we minister to others, locally and globally, this is evidence of God at work in our lives. Sow, grow, and bear fruit. Discover Christ, discover community, discover your mission. Well, another question I want to talk about this morning is, why? Why is this our vision? Is this biblical? Why discover Christ, discover community, discover your mission? Evaluating our vision in light of the Bible, what the Bible teaches, and in light of the purposes of the church, God's purposes for the church. Discover Christ, the first part of our vision, relates to the church's purpose of evangelism. Our purpose as a church is to proclaim Christ, to make Jesus known. Now, I don't think I have to prove to you that that is biblical, do I? We know our purpose as Christians is evangelism. We're supposed to proclaim Jesus, to share the good news of the gospel. The Great Commission, Jesus' final command, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This message of the gospel in Luke 24, Jesus says this message of the gospel, Jesus dying, rising again, the repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations, and you are witnesses. Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit will fill up, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus calls us witnesses. What do witnesses do? In a courtroom, what does a witness do? A witness goes to the stand to testify. Our job is to testify. What do we testify of? We are testifying of Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. Evangelism. And we see that the early church, the first church in Jerusalem, took this command of Christ very seriously. The example of the early church. How did the first church in Jerusalem start? Through evangelism. The first church started, was born out of Peter's evangelistic sermon. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 41, Peter's Pentecost sermon, Peter boldly proclaimed the gospel, and it says on that day that all who received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to the church. The church was born out of evangelism. And secondly, when we study the book of Acts, we see that the church steadily grew through evangelism. It wasn't just a one-time event on the day of Pentecost. The apostles and the church consistently preached the gospel, they made Christ known, and many people came to faith in Christ. In Acts 4, verse 4, it says, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000, from 3,000 to 5,000, through evangelism. Acts 5:14, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And the word of God continued to increase, Acts 6:7, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. The first church was serious about evangelism. The first church started through evangelism, and they continually made Christ, they proclaimed him, they made him known, and people came to the Lord. Discover Christ. Our purpose as a church is that people would hear the gospel and be saved. Discover community. Discover community. The second aspect of our vision, discover community, relates to the church's purpose of fellowship and discipleship. Fellowship and discipleship. The first thing that Luke says about the first church is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Apostles' doctrine, teaching, that's discipleship, and fellowship. That's the first thing that Luke says that characterized the first church, fellowship and discipleship. I don't know if we always connect these two together, but they are intimately connected. Fellowship and discipleship go hand in hand together. The church's purpose is to be a healthy environment which cultivates spiritual growth. My first sermon here, back in April, I talked about Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the foundational passage for the church. It's the first description of the first church. And it's foundational for any discussion of what a church is and does. And if you study this, Acts 2:42 through 46, you'll see that the major emphasis in Acts 2:42 through 46 is fellowship. Luke's major emphasis is this community, this sharing, this relationship. Listen, in verse 42, he says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. There we have discipleship, the apostles' teaching. Fellowship is fellowship. Breaking of bread, of course, is communion. But breaking of bread speaks of them eating together. Sharing a meal together speaks of fellowship, relationship. In verse 44, he says, all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. Now, what else describes community better than that they were all together, they had all in common? Koinonia, the Greek word for fellowship, koinonia, means common. Fellowship, relationship, community, sharing. So fellowship, community, relationship, this was foundational to the first church in Jerusalem. And it must be foundational to every healthy church thereafter. But the interesting thing is relating fellowship to discipleship. As I said before, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. But discipleship, spiritual growth, in the New Testament, in the Bible, discipleship is not an individual exercise. It's a community effort. Spiritual growth takes place together in community, not in isolation. There is a scholar who said that the idea of experiencing salvation without belonging to a local church is foreign to the New Testament. You know, in our day and age, we're so individualistic. It's all about me and Jesus, my relationship with God. And church is optional. That's not biblical. In the New Testament, relationship with God, salvation, spiritual growth was intimately connected with being part of a community, with being part of a local church. Another question, which is very important for our vision, is where did fellowship and discipleship take place in the early church? In other words, how did the early church facilitate, specifically, how did they facilitate this fellowship, this discipleship? The book of Acts speaks of two different kinds of meetings. There's two different kinds of meetings where the fellowship and the discipleship took place. Acts 2:46, it says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. Two kinds of meetings. There was the public meeting in the temple. We know from other scriptures that the first Christians, they met in a place called Solomon's Porch. You have to understand the Jerusalem temple was a huge, huge area, a few square miles. And the early Christians just met in a certain part of the temple called Solomon's Porch. So there was this public, it was a public place. There was room for as many people as wanted to come. It was a public gathering. That was the first kind of gathering where fellowship and discipleship took place. The second kind of gathering was breaking bread in the homes. Small groups, home groups. Limited space, right? Not everybody can fit in one home, but they met together in the homes. That's the two kinds of meetings in the first church. Acts 5:42 speaks of the apostles' discipleship ministry. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching. That is, the apostles did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. So where did the apostles teach? Where did the apostles disciple? Two places. The apostles discipled in the temple, the public gathering, and they discipled in the homes, the private small groups. Are you seeing the connection here? As a church, our discipleship, our fellowship should take place publicly, that's here, Sunday mornings, our Sunday morning worship service, and privately in the homes. Not everybody in one person's home. We've got to divide it up. But as we each meet in different people, as we meet in our homes, the small group gatherings, the community gatherings. The third aspect of our vision is discover your mission. Discover your mission. And this relates back to the church's purpose of ministry and mission. And the two go hand in hand, ministry and mission. As we've said before, Jesus' vision for the church is to be a global body. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We know from Christ, from the Great Commission, that Jesus' vision for the church is to be to all nations. We are to be a global body. How does this take place? How does this happen? It happens through the ministry of local believers. As we minister, Jesus wants to use us for the growth, the global growth of his church. In Ephesians chapter 4, Jesus' vision is that we would grow to be a global body, that the church would grow. But the big question is, how? How does the church grow? Ephesians chapter 4. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ's gift. Therefore it says that when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So Paul speaks of the gift and the gifts. What is the gift? Well, after Jesus ascended to heaven, he poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. What are the gifts? Well, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are special abilities from God that enable us to minister in the church and in the world. In Ephesians, in verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, Paul lists some, not all, but some of the spiritual gifts. He says, "And Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Those are just some of the gifts, not all of them. These are the spiritual gifts. Verse 12, why? Why does Jesus give spiritual gifts to us? To equip the saints to do what? For the work of ministry. To equip us to minister. The spiritual gifts are to empower you and me to be able to minister to one another. Why? For the building up of the body of Christ. The growth. Building up the body of Christ. The growth of the body of Christ. In verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How does the body of Christ grow? It grows as each part does its work. We've talked about this already with the body of Christ. Paul says that we as a church are a body, one body, and yet each one of us is like a member. One is like a hand, one is like a foot, one is like a leg. Each of us has a part to play. Each of us has a role, a ministry. And Paul is saying that the church grows wider, that is, more people come to faith in Christ, and deeper, that is, in terms of quality, our spiritual walk. The church grows as each member does its part. As you are empowered, as we are empowered to serve according to our gifts, the church will grow. I have one final question. And perhaps you've already asked this question this morning as you're listening to me. My final question is, so what? So what? So we have a vision. Let's put it on the wall, put it in our membership statements, and be done with it, right? What's the purpose of having a vision statement as a church? What good does it do? What does it actually change in our church? I'd like to introduce you to a book called Simple Church. Simple Church. As an elder team, all of us elders have been reading the book Simple Church. A simple church is defined as a congregation designed around a straightforward and strategic process that moves people through the stages of spiritual growth. In other words, if our mission as a church is to make disciples, then why don't we design our churches strategically around our discipleship process? Our churches should be designed to move people through, move people on to spiritual maturity, to spiritual growth. This may be difficult to understand, so I'd like to illustrate this. The authors of this book are church consultants. They travel around to different churches and they advise them. They went to a church called First Church. We don't know what it was called, but they called it First Church. Now, when they went to First Church sent them their documents. And so they received numerous, there was a vision statement, there was a mission statement, there was a purpose statement, there was a statement of strategy. They received each department. It was a large church, large staff, well-known. Each ministry, each department had its own vision, its own mission. So when they got there, they were asking the staff, when they met with the pastor and staff, what is the vision of this church? And every person gave a different answer. They weren't unified around a singular vision, direction of where the church is headed and why we exist. First Church has a lot of good programs. They've got the Sunday morning service. They've got the Sunday morning Sunday school. They've got the Sunday evening service. They've got the Wednesday evening Bible study. They've got men's groups. They've got women's groups. They've got small groups. They've got a visitation program. They've got a youth group. They've got a college group. You get the idea. Lots of programs, lots of events, lots of appointments on the calendar. And when you ask each one of the leaders, what is the vision of this church? How does your program contribute to the discipleship process of this church? What is the discipleship process of the church? How do you make disciples here? They got blank stares. Everyone gave a different answer. They visited another church, which they called Cross Church. Basically, they received one statement from Cross Church. Our vision is to love God, love others, and serve the world. That was it. Love God, love others, serve the world. So when they came there, they said, we noticed that you have a clear vision statement. It's love God, love others, serve the world. He said, yeah, that's what we're all about. So they said, okay, well, that's a nice vision statement. What's your process? What's your process for making disciples? He said, love God, love others, serve the world. So wait, so your vision is also the same as the process? Yeah. It's simple. And I think that the reason why we as elders and the governing board have reacted so positively to this idea of a simple church is because we in our complex society crave simplicity, do we not? Our lives are very complex. We're bombarded with so much information, so much to do. Don't we wish that life could be simple? Well, we can't make your whole life simple, but we can make church simple. And on behalf of the elders of this church, on behalf of the governing board of this church, our church wants to be a simple church. We want to become a simple church. How do we get there? How do we become a simple church? A church that is aligned around a simple, straightforward discipleship process. There's four things: clarity, movement, alignment, and focus. Clarity, movement, alignment, and focus. The first thing is clarity, and that's what I'm doing this morning. You see, we need to clearly communicate one vision, not have several different visions that are competing against one another, vying for attention. We need to communicate clearly and consistently one vision for this church. Secondly, movement. Movement. All of our programs, all of our ministries in this church need to be rivers, not lakes. Rivers, not lakes. What happens when you step into a river? There's a current. There's a current that takes you down a path. And wherever you step in, there's going to be a current that moves you. The path for us is obviously the path of discipleship. What happens when you jump in a lake? You just sit there. There's nothing pushing you. You sit in the lake until you go back out. The programs and ministries of our church need to be aligned in such a way. There needs to be a movement. The goal of our programs, of our ministries, need to be to move people on to greater stages of commitment, to grow, to be growing in spiritually in their relationship with God. Rivers, not lakes. Our goal is to move people along, to grow in their faith, constantly growing. Third, this is kind of hairy, alignment. This is where people kind of get their toes stepped on. If we really believe that this is the vision of our church, then we need to align everything we do around the vision. All programs, all ministries, all activities need to be either aligned around our vision to discover Christ, discover community, and discover your mission, either aligned or eliminated. You see, going back to the example of First Church versus Cross Church, First Church and Cross Church, both of them recognized a need in their church, a need for strengthening marriages. They saw that they need to focus on families, to have better families, better marriages. But they went about it two completely different ways. First Church, they had two events in 1 month, on two weekends. One weekend they had a marriage seminar, all day Saturday, and another weekend in the same month they had a parenting seminar, all day Saturday. So they're expecting people in their church that want to improve their families to sacrifice two weekends in 1 month. As you can imagine, although they promoted it, not a lot of people showed up, and they were disappointed. What did Cross Church do? They also noticed the need to address the issue of marriage and family. How did they do it? Well, they channeled this idea into their existing programs. So they did a six-week series on marriage and family from the pulpit, and then they asked all of the small group leaders to go through this material in the small groups. You see, they both had the same need, but the simple church channels new ideas into existing programs. Keep it simple. I told you that I would explain in the sermon about the carnival. Why did we choose to have our carnival on Sunday after church instead of Saturday? You know, as we as elders were talking about what would it mean for our church to be a simple church, we started thinking, we said, well, why are we having a carnival on Saturday? If our ultimate goal is to get people to come here on Sunday morning to discover Christ, then why are we creating this whole other event and spending all this time and all this money, all these energy and resources to get people to come on Saturday? We want people to come on Sunday. So why not make the carnival part of our Sunday morning? And there are many different examples that we could name. We want to be a simple church. We want less is more. We want to do less activities, and yet focus on doing what we do it better. The last is focus. There's a chapter in Simple Church that's entitled Saying No to Almost Everything. It's pretty harsh. Saying no to almost everything. I think you as a church, given your history, you're aware of the fact that the resources of this church are limited, right? We have a very limited amount of people, limited amount of time, limited amount of energy, limited amount of money. We can't say yes to everything. And every time we say yes to something, we say no to something else. So if we've purposed in our hearts, this is our vision, we need to say yes to our vision. Because when we say yes to things that are not our vision, we're saying no to our vision. And so we need to focus on those things that align with our vision. Let's focus on our Sunday morning services, making that the greatest experience possible for people to discover Christ and grow in their faith. Let's focus on the small groups. You know, in a couple weeks, the elders, we're going to start getting together and have a small group of our own. And then we're going to branch out. We're going to be asking you, inviting you to become part of our small group. We're going to launch small groups, community groups in this church starting October. Less is more. We only have a few limited resources. So let's focus them on doing a few things well. Amen? Our mission as a church is to make disciples. And as a body, we've defined this mission through the statement, discover Christ, discover community, discover your mission. Discover Christ is to sow. Discover community is to grow. Discover your mission is to bear fruit. Discover Christ means believing. It's our church purpose of evangelism, and we are going to focus principally on Sunday morning, our Sunday morning worship service. Discover community, belonging to a community. It's the church's purpose of discipleship, of fellowship. And our program, our ministry that we focus on is the small groups, the community groups that we'll be launching soon. Discover your mission, become all that God has called you to be. Serving locally, in your church, in your community, serving globally, God's world mission. The church's purpose of mission and ministry, which we want to focus on, which we want to accomplish through our ministry teams, through being part of the CMA World Missions Movement. The elders and the governing board of this church, we've agreed on the fact that we don't want to be First Church. We want to be a simple church. We want to be simply aligned, focused, moving toward our vision to make disciples. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your final words on earth were to make disciples of all nations. And Jesus, we take that command very seriously here. And so, Lord, we've been praying. We've been reading your word. We've been discussing and talking, and now it's time to do it. Lord, we thank you that we believe that you've given us a vision. We believe that you've given us a direction for where our church should go, where we should focus our time, our energy, our resources as a church, how we should make disciples through discovering Christ, discovering community, and discovering your mission. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless us, because it's not our idea, it's yours. It's from your word. Lord, we ask that you would bless us as a church as we move forward. Lord, we pray for our Sunday morning worship services, that you would help us to improve the the quality of our Sunday morning worship services, so that it would be a place where all of us would feel comfortable to invite friends, to invite family. Lord, we pray as we launch community groups, small groups, Lord, we pray you would bless us as we talk about the DNA, what that means, as we talk about how to recruit leaders and to train leaders for small groups. Lord, we pray most of all that we would cultivate an environment where people will grow spiritually in their relationship with you. Thirdly, Lord, you've called us, you've gifted us, you've given us gifts. You've called us to be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to serve locally, to serve globally, to bear fruit and so prove to be your disciples. So, Lord, I ask that you would help us, Lord, as we seek to improve the ministry teams, the structure, and the leadership, and the way we do ministry here at church. Lord, our desire is that we would join with other CMA churches and really be a part of what the CMA is doing around the world, that we would be a global church. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon our church as we take this step forward, because we believe that it is from you. In Jesus' name, amen.